It's Monday, March the 30th, day 9. One of the joys of life, well, my life anyway, is opening my email every week and morning and finding a newsletter titled The Overspill in it. It's produced by a friend and former colleague, Charles Arthur, who's one of the most knowledgeable people I know. Every day he scours the web, and every day comes up with terrific stuff that I wouldn't have encountered in a month of Sundays. You could describe him as a curator extraordinaire. This morning he introduced one of his choices by saying that it wins the prize for the best opening sentence of the month. It was the opener of an article in Chicago.com, a site I had never visited or even heard of. And the award-winning sentence? Why, just this. Playboy magazine died last week at age 66 of complications related to the novel coronavirus. Close quotes. The article went on to explain that the magazine, a relic of an era when pornography could only be found on paper, and which last year became a print quarterly, costing $25, was still losing $5 million a year. And so it was going online only. The spring 2020 edition will be the last printed issue. Most people probably associate Playboy with the supposedly swinging 60s. But in fact, it was actually founded in 1953 by a Chicago guy called Hugh Hefner, who, in the right-on circles in which I moved, I was married to a devout feminist, was seen as a spawn of the devil. To me, it simply seemed kind of vulgar. A soft porn, glossy magazine which tried to give itself a bit of class by supplementing photographs of scantily clad young women with pieces by high-end writers. Among the distinguished scribes who took its top dollar fees, for example, were Arthur C. Clarke, Ian Fleming, Vladimir Nabokov, Saul Bellow, P.G. Wodehouse, Roald Dahl, and can you believe it, even Margaret Atwood. But despite this illustrious crew, the magazine was, as the Chicago.com's piece puts it, always middlebrow, a square's idea of sophistication. It was notorious for publishing what he calls second-tier fiction by first-rate writers. So if John Updike couldn't sell a short story to The New Yorker, he could always peddle it to Playboy. I only once ever purchased a copy. It was in 1976, and Jimmy Carter, a devout Baptist and peanut farmer from Georgia, had just become the Democratic candidate for president. Since I knew that one of my heroes, Hunter Thompson, was taking Carter seriously, I got interested in him. And then suddenly a media shitstorm blew up over an interview he'd given to Playboy magazine, in which he was quoted as saying, "I've looked on a lot of women with lust. I've committed adultery in my heart many times," unquote. Since most media reports did not give much in the way of context, I went out and bought a copy of the magazine. The interview that had provoked the storm was long, probing and thoughtful. I've just reread it online, and it's just as I remember it, overwhelmingly about serious policy questions and big issues. Carter's reflections on the Vietnam War, for example. The famous quotation came from an exchange in the closing paragraphs of a very long piece, and actually it made sense in that particular context. After I'd finished the piece, I left the magazine on our coffee table. When my wife came back, she immediately spotted it. She shouted, with the exclamation marks coming at me like a fusillade. "You actually bought that rag?" I explained, patiently as one does, that I had wanted to read the Jimmy Carter interview, and she gave me that, look. And then I remembered Dennis Healy's first law of holes. When you're in one, stop digging. That was the last issue of Playboy I ever bought.